You're listening to the DolphinsTalk.com podcast network.
You're listening to DolphinsTalk.com Daily, the most listened to daily Miami Dolphins podcast on the internet. Come on, Dolphins fans. Time to fins up.
Good evening, Miami Dolphins fans. This is the DolphinsTalk.com post-game wrap-up show brought to you by BetUS. I am your host, Tom Ernesty. With me, as always, is Mike Oliva. Mike, Monday is upon us.
It is an absolutely outstanding day, whether if you were listening to this on Sunday or on Monday. It was anytime you win on the road against a team inside of your own division, it's a great day. And the Miami Dolphins here held on to beat the Patriots 17-16, and it's a great day, and we're going to break it down. First off, I want to give a big shout-out to everyone listening at finheaven.com. Everyone go to finheaven.com, the largest Miami Dolphins message board on the internet, as well as for those of you watching on the I Am a Miami Dolphins Fan Facebook group. For everyone watching on Facebook, I need you to share this video right now, spread it around, and share it to all fans of the Dolphins. And, of course, if you're watching on YouTube, as always, Tom, be sure to subscribe to the Dolphins Talk YouTube channel and smash that like button.
We have a lot to get into with this game, but, you know, first and foremost, not only was it a sweet victory for the Miami Dolphins, the Bills lost to the Steelers, the Jets lost to the Panthers, meaning the Miami Dolphins are going into the game next week with the lone win in the AFC East, which is a, you know, it's a good start. Overall, obviously, this is not a sprint. This is an absolute marathon. There are 17 more weeks here in the season. But you get off the schneid, you get a W. It probably one of the toughest places to play. And the kudos to the Patriots. I think they did a very good job defensively. They put a lot of pressure on that young offensive line. But Tua and the Dolphins defense, they found a way to win. And that's what is most important.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, there's been that narrative here in the media the past few weeks. And I was surprised that CBS themselves brought up that how Tua would struggle in front of fans this year because, you know, God forbid, when you play in the SEC and you're on road games against LSU, Auburn, and the playoffs, national championship game, it's like he's never played in front of fans before. And there was this narrative from a few members of national media that he was going to struggle playing his first, you know, real NFL road game in front of a full house, which I did not understand for the life of me. Tua, we'll talk about in-game itself, but just from a big picture overview in this game, was he great? I wouldn't say he was great, but he was very good. And, you know, he made plays when he had to make plays, and he led the Miami Dolphins here to a 17-16 victory. So I think Tua Tagovailoa, it's only week one, but it was a very good week one for him, entering year number two of his NFL career. Now, Tom, one thing I want to talk about real quick were the inactives, because there was a surprise or two of the inactives. Number one, I think the most surprising one was Noah Igbinoghene being a healthy scratch. For a first-round pick, you expect someone, you know, at least be active. And I think it kind of shows you where he falls on the Miami Dolphins depth chart right now in that very crowded secondary, that very crowded cornerback room. So that was a little bit of a surprise. And also, Igbinoghene is someone who in the preseason was returning a lot of the kickoffs as well, and he was a healthy scratch today. Greg Little, now this might have been less of a surprise after Saturday when Austin Jackson was cleared to play. Austin Jackson, he did not start, but Greg Little also a scratch. Preston Williams, less of a surprise because obviously he is still recovering from that injury from 2020. Trill Williams, again, not really surprised, and Elijah Campbell, who just got here the first week of September, not surprised. But Noah Igbinoghene was a little bit of a surprise. Once again, not because you expect him to be a big contributor on the field, but you, for a first-round pick in year two, you at least think he'd be active. So a little bit of a head-scratcher there.
Yeah, you know, the Dolphins are fairly deep at the quarterback spot. So, you know, Noah, you know, it is what it is right now with him. Obviously, that he has long time to sort it out. The Dolphins aren't obviously giving up on the young kid yet. Being inactive for week one, it is what it is. And in, as we know with Brian Flores, what players are sitting and what players are going is all based on what they want to do defensively or offensively in the game. I'm sure Noah Igbinoghene will be back in the lineup at some point, but he sat out today against the Patriots. But, Mike, we got to talk about this game and talk about how the Dolphins came to the 17-16 victory. So we're going to start it right off. The Dolphins won the toss and elected to defer, as always, and the Patriots get the ball to start. A little nerve-wracking at the very first play. Damian Harris bolts up the gut for 35 yards. And but the fortunately enough, the drive stalled out after a sack by Christian Wilkins, which actually was a fumble on that play as well, because Mac Jones decided to turn around and throw the ball down backwards, which is a backwards lateral, and ended up pushing him out of field goal range. And the Dolphins ended up getting the ball at the 20-yard line in a very efficient 10-play, 80-yard drive that took 5 minutes and 5 seconds off the clock that was capped off by a Tua Tagovailoa RPO run of 2 yards into the end zone, and the Dolphins took a 7-0 lead. This, Mike, this was a very strong start to the season for the Miami Dolphins offense.
Yes, it absolutely was. That drive, first drive, was kind of a statement drive for the entire offense. And one thing we will sort of talk about all throughout the game, Liam Eichenberg started at left tackle for the Miami Dolphins in this game. That's where he played in college at Notre Dame. And the entire preseason, he worked at left guard or right tackle. Didn't see him much at left tackle, but with no Austin Jackson, or at least just coming off the COVID list, Liam Eichenberg at left tackle, I thought he had his ups and downs, as any rookie does in his first game ever, and especially against on the road in a tough spot here. I thought he played well for the most part. Obviously, there's a few plays where he didn't. But on this drive, I thought he looked really good, at least on this opening drive. And Tua was just, I thought, fantastic on this drive. The offense was crisp, sharp, really no mistakes. And they just marched down the field and put 7 on the board real quick.
Yeah, overall, again, it was a great start, but it got even better on the next Patriots possession on a on first and 10 from the Patriots 39-yard line. Stevenson for the Patriots ran up the running up the middle 9 yards. Eric Rowe stripped the football, and it was recovered by the Dolphins, setting the Dolphins up in New England territory at the 48-yard line. A very good play by Eric Rowe, and you know, again, the defense is off to a very good start.
Yes, the Miami Dolphins front 7 struggled a little bit here in this game trying to stop the run. But on this drive here, they, you know, they caused a fumble, recovered the fumble, and just overall this whole game, it's going to be a theme of the whole game. On that side of the ball, it was a bend but don't break type of defense, and they had some fortunate turnovers in key spots. This was one of them early in the game to give Miami the ball back.
Yes, unfortunately, it went nowhere as the Dolphins went 3 and out on the drive, and it was just negative play after negative play, which unfortunately featured incomplete pass, a minus 1 yard run from Myles Gaskin, and then a sack, unfortunately, by Kyle Van Noy, who was really out for blood in this game, but he was able to get to Tua on that play and force a 3 and out, so the Dolphins could not capitalize. And after the punt, the Patriots go 14 plays, 65 yards, and almost 7 minutes of possession. You know, it took us almost into just about 10 minutes into the second quarter. And the Dolphins, like you said, bend but don't break defense. They were able to hold the Patriots to a 27-yard field goal and kept the lead 7-3. Both teams exchange punts. The Patriots get a 7-play, 63-yard drive after a Dolphins punt that took 3:36 off the clock, and they took a 10-7 lead on Mac Jones' first touchdown pass to Nelson Aguilar. Mike, I was impressed with Mac Jones on that drive, getting the Patriots up 10-7.
Yeah, Mac Jones, not just this drive. I think for this entire game, you know, coming into this game, everyone, those in the national media had kind of anointed Mac Jones as the sort of savior for the Patriots, sort of this next superstar quarterback. And I'm not sure he's that. I'm not sure he's that. I think that's a little early. And I think a lot in the national media really put a lot of hype on him and really built him up. I don't know if he's that. But I know one thing. He's going to be good. I don't see this kid. I don't see him. He won't be a bust. I don't think he's going to be awful.
He's with the right team.
He's got a great offensive line in front of him. He's got a solid running game behind him. And he's going to take what is there. And I think, you know, he's not Tom Brady by any means. But, boy, he is a solid player. And I kind of like what I saw from him today from a Patriots perspective. Obviously happy that the Miami Dolphins won and everything. But Mac Jones, this drive was very good, took what was there. And I just think overall he had a solid day.
It's a solid day overall. He's going to get the rah-rah from the press. This time,
you're breaking up, Tom. You're breaking up pretty fierce, Tom, so I'm going to take over here. So the Miami Dolphins get the ball back, and they go 8 plays, 45 yards, and 2 minutes and 30 seconds. And right before the half, they get a field goal to tie it up at 10. Jason Sanders with a 48-yard field goal as time expired right before the half. A nice little 2-minute drive here for Tua and the Miami Dolphins offense to get them in field goal range and tie the game up at halftime. And, Tom, you look like you're frozen there online. So it's halftime. Everyone knows what that means. BetUS. BetUS. Life is back on sports bettors. And BetUS has your UFC, PGA, college football, MLB, and, yes, NFL betting lines up for their 27th year. And live betting on all of it. Log in to BetUS.com or call 800-792-3887. That's 800-79-BETUS. And use a promo code Dolphins Talk and save 125% on and get 125% sign on bonus. I'm sorry. We're trying to get Tom back up, and my mind is trying to do two things at once. So when you go to BetUS, use the promo code Dolphins Talk, and you get 125% sign on bonus with a minimum deposit of $100. And if you're going to pay by crypto, use the promo code Dolphins Talk 200. And you will get a 200% sign on bonus. Customer service pros are ready to get your phone, social, and online sports betting kickoff started now. Play with the proven mainstay in the industry, BetUS. You bet, you win, you get paid. BetUS.com. Everyone go to BetUS. And today, if you had bet the Miami Dolphins, who were an underdog in this game, you made a few bucks. And if you bet them on the money line, you made a lot of money because the Miami Dolphins won today and they covered that spread since they were the underdog. So everyone go to BetUS.com, promo code Dolphins Talk for 125% sign-on bonus, and also use the promo code Dolphins Talk 200 if you're paying by crypto. And I think we got Tom back.
Yeah, sort of. I mean, I don't know what's going on here with my internet, so I apologize for that, everybody. Just got to get back in the swing of things. But hey, you got all the stuff out there for sponsors, so that's good. We're going to pick it up right at halftime. And I tweeted earlier that the Miami Dolphins did a great job last season coming out of halftime and putting points on the board. And lo and behold, once again, they did that 9-play, 75-yard drive that took 4 minutes and 9 seconds that ended in Tua Tagovailoa's touchdown pass to Jaylen Waddle, getting his first touchdown in the NFL. And the Dolphins reclaimed the lead 17-10, a very methodical drive, a beautiful pass down the right sideline to Devontae Parker, which I think was making Stephon Gilmore twitch while he was watching from home as he wasn't playing. And Parker really shined in this game. And again, we'll talk about that at the end of the show here. But a beautiful drive, a beautiful design at the 3-yard line, getting Waddle open, and he fought his way into the end zone for the touchdown. Mike, what were your thoughts with Jaylen Waddle getting his first touchdown?
Jaylen Waddle in this game I thought was fantastic, and he is everything that the Miami Dolphins, one, that they needed, and two, that they had hoped for. You know, chunk yardage plays. He converted on third down and a touchdown there. Obviously, his speed is a big asset. Jaylen is a big asset. Jaylen Waddle is exactly what the Miami Dolphins need. And I just thought he was fantastic in this game. And it showed why the Miami Dolphins took him 6 overall. Because this offense, last year and in previous years, really didn't have a guy like him. Wilson and Grant are very good players, but they can't do what Waddle does at the wide receiver position. And Waddle showed why he was picked number 6 overall.
Yeah, I think he's going to be absolutely electric. And the Dolphins can definitely take some notes from what the Steelers did with Buffalo defensively today and use that in that game next week, which is going to be huge. Coming to the Rock, Buffalo Bills next week is going to be a massive game for the Dolphins if they can get up to a 2-0 record to start the season. Sky's the limit, but let's continue to talk about this one. The Patriots, Mac Jones, a 14-play, 67-yard drive that took 8 minutes and 1 second off the clock. I was just absolutely floored by how long this drive was and the fact that the Dolphins were able to get them off the field after an 8-minute drive and only surrendering 3 points. Again, bend but don't break. It was such a great defensive stand after a long, long drive.
Mac Jones was the epitome of a sort of, you know, dink and dunk type offense. He just took what was there for a lot of the game. Now, there were some times where he did. He wasn't even looking at his wide receivers. He was just taking whatever was underneath and sort of checking down after checking down. So that's how you get these 8-minute drives, when you can run the ball a little and you can just sort of dink and dunk your way up the field. Yep. But then there comes a point where it's sort of you got to score a touchdown or else, and he couldn't punch it in the end zone here, and they settled for a field goal.
Yeah, so the 8-minute drive, you would hope that the Dolphins offense would come on the field, give the defense a little bit of a breather. Only 1 minute, 37 seconds. It was a 3-and-out. Dolphins had to punt it away. The Patriots, once again, a 14-play, 57-yard drive that took 5 minutes and 37 seconds off the field. Again, the Dolphins' defense suffocates inside the 20-yard line. The Patriots had to settle for a 33-yard field goal. It was such a tremendous job. The Patriots, and you look at those last two drives, that's a little bit more than a quarter and a minute that they've had the ball in the second half. The Dolphins' offense just was not on the field, but able to continue to hold the Patriots to only a field goal on the very next drive. And this is what is going to be talked about by a lot of people from our fan base, national media. It was the interception on the next drive from Tua as he escaped a would-be sack as he was about to get hit by Matt Judon. He threw the ball up. Ball was tipped 2 times by Dolphins receivers and then intercepted. At the end of the day, that ball cannot be thrown. You eat that football or you throw it out of bounds. Tua just tried to make a play. It almost happened. It was absolutely the wrong decision, but the Dolphins were able to get out of it. You know,
yeah.
Bad throw. It happens. It's a road game. Tua's trying to do something to close the game out. It's something that you just can't do in those situations, but he was bailed out. Mike, what were your thoughts on the
game? It's one of those things to where he has to understand the situation of the game. You're late in the third quarter, or this is actually the fourth quarter, my bad. He has a lead, and it's, you know, 3rd and 7. You have to understand the situation. And he was trying to throw it away, but he was also trying to throw it away, seemed like further than he needed to. He was already outside the pocket. He could have thrown that at, you know, somebody's feet, or he could have thrown it just sideways out of bounds. He tried to put a little oomph behind it. And it ended up getting tipped and then intercepted. And like I said, Tua Tagovailoa was very good for like 80% of this game. He was very good. He held on a couple plays. He did hold on to the ball too long. Yep. And on this play, it was just a bad play by him, which, again, not the end of the world. It didn't hurt them in the end. He's sort of – it's one of those things you hope he learns from and hopes he sort of – that we don't see again from him. But, you know – you sort of have to call it like it is. That was a bad play by Tua in a bad spot. As late in the game, you just can't turn it over like that and give the Patriots the ball near midfield, essentially, in a one-point game where you're just trying to run out the clock here and hold on to a win. So Tua, a lot of good in this game. Really, I mean, you can't knock much on anything, but this was one very bad decision by the second-year quarterback.
You have to take it all in stride. You know, this is a road, his really his first true road game in the league. New England getting their fans back. Every NFL stadium that hosted their game this weekend, every fan base was juiced up to be back in the stadium to root their team on. That is a very tough place to play. As we know, as Dolphins fans, it has been very difficult to win in New England. I think that is, what, our third or fourth win in New England since the 2008 Wildcat game? I mean,
it's not many. Few and far between.
It's a tough place, but at the end of the day, winners find a way to win. And this team found a way to win because on the next possession with the Patriots starting at midfield, gets the ball down to the Dolphins 11-yard line. And then Damian Harris goes right tackle to the 9, and he is stripped by Xavien Howard and Jerome Baker, and it was recovered by Xavien Howard, which is why he should have been Defensive Player of the Year last year, but he is off to a very strong start this year. And the Miami Dolphins were able to run the clock out, force the Patriots to use all their timeouts, and then picked up a first down and got it to the two-minute warning, and that closed the game. The Miami Dolphins win 17-16. Mike, again, you can't say enough about this team winning in Foxborough. That is a great start to the season, and you look ahead now to Buffalo next week. You had to get a W this week. It was huge.
Yeah, like I said, anytime you get a win in this league, you never apologize for it. And anytime you can win on the road inside of your own division, that just makes it that much sweeter. And last year, pretty much 365, last year, week one, they lost in this spot, Miami. They lost week one to the Patriots in New England. One year later, fast forward, and now they get a win. And it's a win. It wasn't a clean game. It wasn't a perfect game. We know the things they have to improve. We know the things they have to fix. But it's week one of a long season, and there's a lot of teams right now who are will be watching film this week saying we have to clean this up, we have to fix that. And even though it wasn't pretty a time for the Dolphins, they found a way to hold on to get a win, and that's all that matters at the end of the day. And it's outstanding. I mean, it really is. Everyone has such high expectations for this team this year, and they think they're going to be special, make the playoffs, and get in there. And for all that to happen, you got to win games like this on the road against teams inside the AFC East.
100%. The way you can win your division is by beating the teams within your division. So let's get into the overall stats for the game. The Patriots had 24 first downs, so the Dolphins 16. They were 11 of 16 on third down, the Patriots. That, again, like I said at the top of the show, Josh McDaniels found a way to give Mac Jones great opportunities to convert those third downs. I don't think the Patriots are in many third and longs at all. I didn't see them much in like third and 10 or more throughout this game.
No, and it a large part of that was because of their offensive line, and they were just able to get 3-4 yards on first down, and then that put them in second and manageable. Then they got into third and short. When you're in third and short, you will convert in this league much easier than if you're in third and long. And they were in third and short most of the day because they were able to run the ball.
Yep. The Dolphins were 4-for-11 on third down. Total plays, the Patriots ran 70 plays to the Dolphins 52. Total yards, the Patriots had 393 total yards of offense. The Dolphins with 259. And the amazing stat was the 8 drives for the Patriots to the 9 to the Dolphins, but the 9th drive was the closeout drive for Miami. So don't really take that with a grain of salt. Yards per play, 5.6 for New England, 5.0 for the Dolphins. Tua Tagovailoa, 16 to 27 for 185 yards, one touchdown, one interception, 6.4 yards per pass, and he had the rushing touchdown.
Actually, he had 202 yards, I think.
The sacks were in there. So, yeah, 202 when he was sacked twice for 17-yard loss. Mac Jones, 29 of 39, 6.7 yards per pass. He had one touchdown, and he was sacked once for a loss of 13 yards. On the ground, the Dolphins ran 23 times for 74 yards at 3.2 yards per attempt. The Patriots, 30 attempts, 125 yards at 4.2. So it wasn't bad at the end of the day. They only gave up 4 yards a carry. This is the stat Mike likes every single week. red zone attempts. The Dolphins cashed in two out of the two times they made the red zone. The Patriots, 1 for 4. Bend, but do not break is the motto here. Penalties, Miami penalized 5 times for 28. The Patriots, 8 for 84, which is probably one of the more stunning stats you'll ever see.
And they had some bad ones, too. They had some really bad penalties. They had some big plays that were taken back. Miami's 5 for 28. The only one I can really complain about, which it's the rule. It's the rule. Elandon Roberts sack on Mac Jones.
Yep.
Now, I don't like the rule. So that's why I don't like why it should be a penalty. But the referee is 100% right for throwing the flag because that's the rule how it's written. And Roberts, I don't know what you expect him to do. As you know, and I didn't even think he did hit him under the knee, but he didn't hit him, I guess you could say, badly under the knee. He hit him by the side. Yeah. He clearly wasn't trying to hurt him, and he was sort of falling down. Yeah, he was falling down. So the ref, it's a penalty because it is the right call by the ref. I get it. I just don't like the rule. I think that rule, you need to judge intent, and there has to be some intent to sort of hurt somebody. And clearly on that play, there was no intent to hurt someone. He just was sort of sacking the quarterback. It just happened to be a little bit of a lower hit, but I get it. But really, 5 penalties for Miami. They had a few holdings. Solomon Kinley was an illegal man downfield, which almost hurt him at the end of the game. Liam Eikenberg, I think, had a hold. So overall, a pretty clean game for the Dolphins, and the Patriots were sloppy.
Yep. Time of possession, 36 minutes, 43 seconds for New England. The Dolphins with 23 minutes and 17 seconds. Real quick, regarding injury on Raekwon Davis, he did return to the game with a knee injury. Obviously, they're going to take a look at that. But the fact that he was able to go back out there to play, it's nothing significant. I would expect to see him out there next week, but we'll find out as practice goes this week. Mike,
yeah.
Let's talk about your player of the game.
Oh, to me, the player of the game. I mean, there's a few ways you could go, but I am going to go Jaylen Waddle. First game, 4 receptions, 61 yards and a touchdown. He had the big 36-yard reception down the field in a big spot. Then he caught the touchdown. I just thought he, you know, with no Will Fuller this week, there's no Preston Williams, obviously, still. Waddle is a rookie. I just thought came up big in big spots for this offense, and it was – this was a low-scoring game. There wasn't a lot of points. There wasn't a lot of what you would call exciting big plays. But Waddle made some very important plays, and obviously the touchdown being one of them. So I will go Jaylen Waddle gets my game ball.
I like it. I'm going to stick at the wide receiver position, and I'm going to go with a healthy Devontae Parker.
Okay, Kevin Harlan.
I had to throw that part in there. It's the often injured.
I mean, he's not technically wrong, but you don't usually hear announcers take a little subtle jab at a player like that.
He had money on the Patriots. Devontae Parker had 4 catches, 81 yards, averaged 20.3 yards per reception. And to note, Jaylen Waddle averaged 15.3, which is really nice numbers to see for those guys, you know. And that's Tua putting the ball in the right position for those guys to make those plays.
Now, Tom, I got a couple things here.
Yeah, let's
talk. Number one, now we each gave – I gave it to Waddle. You gave it to Parker. You can make a case that Xavier Howard maybe should get the game ball because they did not throw one. I don't know if they threw one pass his way, which I don't blame him. And that's the thing with Howard. That's going to be a thing this year. Now, the Patriots wide receivers, it's not a strength for them. And I'm sure next week and in upcoming weeks, we'll learn more about this. But they didn't even test Howard once that I can remember. I'm sure they might have. Once, and then he comes up with the big fumble at the end of the game. And that's why Xavier Howard is Xavier Howard. An unbelievable quiet game, but it's not quiet because he made the biggest play of the game at the end of the game. So Xavier Howard, kudos, hats off. And I got a few questions for you.
Yeah.
What was your thought on Jacoby Brissett coming into the field on 3rd and 1s and running the quarterback sneaks and not letting Tua run the quarterback sneak and making a quarterback change for a play or two and Jacoby Brissett handling the quarterback sneak? Because you know it's going to be talked about. this yeah. all week.
I didn't mind it at all. But the fact now that you know when Jacoby Brissett runs on the field, you know what's going to happen. So
they have to put a wrinkle in out and let him throw it
that's
once.
What I was going to say, they need to put wrinkles in, because when you're in that fourth and short, third and short situation, Jacoby Brissett comes on the field, you better have some really nice design play action passes. You better do something in those situations if Jacoby Brissett it comes onto the field. But I don't care. Let Jacoby Brissett take some of the punishment, and Tua doesn't have to take those third and short punishments at the middle of the line of scrimmage.
You're right.
I'm perfectly fine with it.
I'm fine with it too because of the size. I mean, he obviously has the size. He's a larger man at quarterback, so it works for him to do that. The one issue, small issue I had, was the first time they did it, leave him on the field. They tried to get too cute. And I think if you're going to do something like this, don't get too cute. Let him go out there, run his sneak, and then take them off. Don't leave them out there. Try to have them jump off sides or try to have them use a timeout. That, to me, is just overthinking this. And it didn't work this week. And I just fear one of these weeks it might really backfire on them. Just let them go out there for his one play, sneak, or if you want to toss in a wrinkle, them throw a pass, whatever. Just leaving them out there two plays in a row. I thought they were just trying to get too cute. Next question for you. We saw the return of the Wildcat, and I got to admit, for a team that is not known like the 2021 Miami Dolphins, who are going to struggle to run the ball, when they did the Wildcat, it worked, and it worked well. And we saw it with Salvin Ahmed. We saw it with Malcolm Brown, who it really worked with Malcolm Brown. I would not mind seeing – now, I don't want it to be as much as we saw in 2008, but I would not mind seeing more – Wildcat running plays, because I think it'll work. I really do think it'll work, and it might give this running game a little bit of a spark to where it might help this offense out greatly in the upcoming weeks.
And it's got to be used at the proper time. I think using it in those moments when you're inside the red zone, inside the 5-yard line, those are the perfect times to do it. You don't want to do it at your own 20-yard line.
No.
Do it in a situation where
– plus territory.
Absolutely. And, you know, like we learned from 08, and a lot of teams still run these wrinkle Wildcats, is it's a lot of motion. There's a lot of moving parts, and that can cause some confusion with the defense. So, again, add your wrinkles in as you go down this, you know, as you go each and every week, add your wrinkles in those situations. And, you know, if it works, great. If it doesn't, you know, go back to the drawing board. But I do like the creativity down inside the 10-yard line to use the Wildcat multiple times.
Yeah, absolutely. Because overall, this game, it's funny. You know, you saw this Miami Dolphins team, which we saw all last year in 2020. We saw it again today, week one of the regular season. They have so much grit. And they will fight to the last whistle, and they fight and they fight, and they make the timely plays, and they'll, you know, more times than not, they come out on top. And that's what happened again here today. But in a lot of ways, this game was very similar to watching the Miami Dolphins play in 2020, because where they struggled, now it's time to talk about where they sort of struggled in this win, was sort of, you know, a consistent pass rush, especially in the first half. Yeah. Stopping the run, but some of that might have been the loss of Raekwon early in the game, or he was out for a big chunk of the game. We'll know more about that next week, I think. But that was something that's a little bit of a struggle. And I know a lot of fans were sort of clamoring for the Miami Dolphins now to go back outside there and re-sign Bernardrick McKinney, who I know is not someone who can play well in pass coverage. But, man, he can stop the run. And I think I don't know. It wouldn't be the worst idea to sort of consider bringing back free agent Bernardrick McKinney, who Miami let go the first week of September, back in, because I think he's a guy who, when you put in the middle of this front seven, can really help. I really do think that, because we saw what the Patriots did today with a very good offensive line and a solid running game. That's what these other teams are going to sort of pick up on. And on the other side of the ball, the offensive line I thought was good. I'm not going to say, you know, it was, you know, it wasn't like it totally wasn't 2020. They were good. Now, they had some breakdowns, like any team does. Yeah. They had some breakdowns. But overall, I thought the offensive line was good. And here's a question about Liam Eichenberg. Yeah. Who had his ups and downs?
Yeah.
Was this a Wally Pipp type moment, you think? Do you think he's the new left tackle on this team moving forward? Or is Austin Jackson back at left tackle next week? And right tackle will be either Jesse Davis or Liam Eichenberg. Was this what we saw today? And I don't know. Honestly, I don't know, because I'm sure when they watched the tape, like I said, there were some ups and downs with Liam. He got beat bad in a couple plays, he had a penalty, but there were times he looked really good too. And I don't know what's in the minds of the Miami Dolphins staff. Was this a Wally Pipp type moment?
I think so. I would expect Austin Jackson back out there next week if he's healthy enough to be out there. I expect him to be at left tackle. But Eichenberg has proved, you know, he proved for the most part that he can definitely take some reps and be a factor on the offensive line. Yes, he did struggle. It's his first game in the NFL.
He struggled at times. He looked really good at times too.
He 100% did. You know, yes, you're going against a guy like Matt Judon, who's a very effective pass rusher, Kyle Van Noy, who we know is a decent pass rusher as well. You know, the Patriots have a really strong defensive front, and he held his own for the most part. You know, yeah, he had penalties. Yes, he gave up a sack. It is what it is. And I think he did good enough to where you could look at him and say, all right, let's get you some more reps, maybe at right tackle. Maybe we'll get you over there, protect Tua's blind side if they feel strong enough about it. But
yeah, that's going to be interesting to watch. Yeah, that's going to be interesting to watch here moving forward, because I don't know if it's a Wally Pipp type moment. And for those who don't know, because I put this up on social media, some people who are more of our younger fans who don't know what that means. Wally Pipp was the first baseman for the New York Yankees. He sat out one day. I think he had a headache. I believe he sat out with a headache. And for the next 2,130 games, Lou Gehrig was the new Yankees first baseman, and he replaced him, and Wally Pipp never got his job back. I don't know if that's the case. I do think Austin Jackson probably will be at left tackle next week. But now Liam Eichenberg showed us something today. We know through the preseason he can play left guard. And we saw him in the preseason, did a lot of work at right tackle, and he played well there. Now we know, if need be, he can play left tackle, which we all kind of knew because that's where he played at Notre Dame. But to do it sort of in a pinch in a real game, that really says something. So Liam Eichenberg now has, you know, he already had position flexibility heading into this game, but now he's got something to put on his resume. And that makes me very happy. So – Liam, that's going to be interesting to see how this shakes out this week, because between Austin Jackson, Liam Eichenberg, and Jesse Davis, they all can't play. So somebody is going to be on the bench, and we have to see, which we probably won't know until next Sunday at about 11 a.m., which one is going to be – which two will be the starting offensive tackles for the Miami Dolphins when they take on the Buffalo Bills.
Yeah, that's a huge, huge week coming up here for the Miami Dolphins. And like I said earlier – you can start a season 2-0 against your division. You're setting out yourself up for success. And we know the schedule for the Dolphins after Buffalo, but it's one game at a time. And we're going to have shows every single day this week on DolphinsTalk.com with a show tomorrow for myself. And we're going to have a bunch of shows through the week talking about this game against the Buffalo Bills and obviously wrapping up the game here against the New England Patriots.
Now, Tom, For those of you who are sort of new here to our podcast and maybe listening for the first time on the post-game wrap-up show, and this one is kind of quicker than normal because there was not a lot of points in this game. It was only 17-16. It was not an offensive showcase. There was a lot of long drives of dinks and dunks and not really much in the ways of excitement. So, Tom, as I ask you at the end of each show every week, what was on the menu in the Ernest E. House this Sunday for the Dolphins-Patriots?
Well, you're gonna be very upset with me. Obviously, with the late game, you have to have a little lunch. So, nice pizza, some chicken wings, very nice. But for dinner, which is still waiting for me,
yes,
it's the bolognese.
Oh, the bolognese! One of these days, I got to get out there for the bolognese. There's just been so much happening in all of our lives. One of these days, it's going to happen. That's my favorite is the bolognese sauce, the Tom Ernest E. special. Yeah. Bolognese sauce. So, yeah, I went with what's called Grandma's Pizza. It's a local pizza place here where I live, and they sell this Grandma's Pizza, almost like a tomato pie, but not really a tomato pie. It's really probably tough to explain on a podcast, and people might not care, but that's what I had.
I care. It's food, man.
Yeah, exactly. But now the Miami Dolphins are in sole possession of first place. after week one. Zach Wilson and the Jets, I did watch some of that game just to go around the AFCs. The first half, he struggled mightily. The second half, I don't know if the Panthers just stopped playing or if Zach Wilson's good. I don't know yet. And we're going to learn more about him next week as I believe they just play the Patriots. So we'll know more. But I don't know about Zach Wilson yet. He was brutal in the first half. Second half, he looked okay. But that might have been just because the Panthers were just sort of mailing in. The Bills struggled against Pittsburgh. And I'll say this. A lot of people heading into this year sort of were talking about the Browns, talking about the Ravens in the AFC North. Pittsburgh's still Pittsburgh, and they were stifling on defense. Stifling. Sure. And the Pittsburgh Steelers gave Josh Allen fits. And something to keep an eye on with the Bills, since they're Miami's next opponent, their running back, Zach Moss, was a healthy scratch. And most people had him penciled in. Yeah, it was a timeshare with Singletary, but they had him penciled in a timeshare. So he didn't even suit up and play this week, and he's healthy. We'll see if that changes next week when they play Miami. I'm guessing it will, because they're going to look at the tape and see Miami struggled against the run, and we have to probably run the ball more this week against Miami. So I think we'll probably see Zach Moss, but next week's a big game for the Dolphins, because if they could ever start off 0-2 and put the Bills at 0-2, good Lord, that would be I know it's September, but that would be big time. That'd be as big as it gets to open up the year. If you can start off 2-0 and put what everyone thinks is the best team in the AFC East, and who I saw on all the pregame shows today, everyone's picking to go to the Super Bowl. If you could put them at 0-2 after the first two games, it would be enormous.
Huge. It would be huge, because that's a psychological advantage as well, because now you got a team that's, yes, it's early in the season. There's still 15 games to play if they lose next week, but they got to, you start to have a little panic. Josh Allen looked very, very pedestrian in this game against the Steelers. So like I said, Brian Flores, he's got a very aggressive defense. He needs to make sure he contains Josh Allen, because the Dolphins' struggles against Josh Allen is when he gets out of the pocket and he uses his legs. That's when the problems happen in the games against the Bills.
Yeah, and it's kind of funny, because in this past year's draft, everyone was all talking about which wide receiver should go first. You got Chase, you got Smith, you got Waddle. Which one's the best? Which one's this? They all had big days. They all caught touchdown passes. You know, Chase, for all of his drops in the preseason, had a big day today for the Bengals. Waddle in Miami, obviously, with the touchdown, he made a couple nice plays. And Devontae Smith for the Eagles, I watched some of that game as well. He had a touchdown on his first ever catch. And there was one drive, I want to say right before halftime, if I remember correctly, where like three or four plays in a row, they went to him and he put on a show. So all three wide receivers, the young rookie wide receivers who are at the top of this draft class, they all looked outstanding today. I think all teams are probably happy with the guy that they got. Just great to see, because, yes, you want to see your guy do well, but it's also nice to see other players who were in the conversation for the Dolphins, who they almost went this way, almost went through. It's okay to see them do well as well. And, Alabama, this was a weekend for Alabama. When you think about Hurts, Tua, Mac Jones, Waddle, Smith, Harris for the Patriots, I know he had the fumble late. He played well. Just overall, Alabama is just taking over the NFL, and they're all making big plays. Najee Harris played well. Just unbelievable to see. And next week now, Tom, as we get ready for a big game, Hard Rock Stadium season opener for all the fans down there. It's going to be – I expect a sellout. I expect a full house, and I expect Hard Rock Stadium to be electric, and Will Fuller will make his debut for the Miami Dolphins.
Yes, that is a – listen, that is a huge ad for the Miami Dolphins next week, is adding Will Fuller into the lineup. And now we get to see more of the array of weapons that Tua has to work with. And just like Jalen Waddle, Will Fuller is a guy that can really stretch the field, but he's also a guy that can work underneath and get some rack. And that is going to be important against a team like the Bills. You got to sustain drives. You got to put points up every chance you get. Because the Bills' offense, yes, they struggled today, but they've had their way with the Dolphins' defense for the last few years, and they have to get it done. I'm going to say it right now. This is a huge game for the Dolphins next
week. It's a statement game because the Bills the past few years have had our number. They have. And you got to give them credit. They're a very good team. I know we're all not fans of the Bills, but you got to give them their credit. They're a very good team. And especially that Week 17 game from last year, if that doesn't motivate the Miami Dolphins, that group, which is most of the team that's now here this year, if that doesn't motivate them to come out ready and this upcoming week, their next Sunday, I don't know what will, because law averages. The Dolphins got to beat these guys at least once. And you would think the one of these times it would probably be at home. It's 1 o'clock. It's going to be hopefully hot down there at Hard Rock Stadium. We're due to beat them. We are due. And if we can just get this win next week and be 2-0 and put them at 0-2, it will change the narrative around the Miami Dolphins. It'll change the narrative around Tua Tagovailoa. It'll change the narrative around what the AFC East will be in 2021. Even though it's still early, it would be a statement win, clearly. It'll change how everyone perceives this AFC East playing out this year and let some of these other teams start to play catch up with us. And so that's why next week's game is – it's. I can't wait. I wish it was next Sunday already. I can't wait because I hope this Dolphin – they have, after the beating they took at the end of last season, Week 17 last year – I think they got to be extra motivated to come out and show the Bills that's not us. That wasn't the real Miami Dolphins. And this is the real us. And hope for the best here. We'll see. But that's next Sunday.
Yeah, 1 o'clock kickoff from Hard Rock Stadium. I don't mind the 4 o'clock plus games.
But I kind of like them.
I like them, but not on week one.
Yeah. And sort of here to wind things up here with some plugs. Everyone, be sure to check out the website, dolphinstalk.com, and also check out the new revamped Dolphins Talk morning newspaper that will be out each and every morning throughout the regular season. So check out the new Dolphins Talk morning newspaper. Again, if you're watching on YouTube, be sure to subscribe to the channel, smash that like button. And if you're not watching on YouTube, be sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel. Go to YouTube, search Dolphins Talk. We have a bunch of new content that's exclusive only to YouTube. The only place you'll see it on our YouTube channel. We have stuff going up each and every day now as we sort of expand our YouTube channel. Be sure to follow Tom Earnesy at Dolphins Talk Tom. You can follow myself at Dolphins Talk. And if you are listening to this podcast, subscribe to the podcast, the DolphinsTalk.com podcast, whether on Apple Podcasts, SoundCloud, Spotify, Amazon, Podbean, TuneIn, Stitcher, wherever you're listening, be sure to subscribe to the podcast. Give us a 5-star rating and review. So, Tom, you want to bring it home?
Yeah, let's bring it home. Thank you all for listening. Be sure to go to Dolphins Talk DolphinsTalk.com every single day for all the latest Miami Dolphins news and information. Like Mike said, be sure to smash the like button on YouTube and be sure to follow us because we're going to have all the news and notes throughout the week leading us up to the game against the Buffalo Bills. We are out. Thank you all. Fins up. Let's go.
Thank you for listening to the DolphinsTalk.com podcast. Be sure to visit DolphinsTalk.com every day for all of your latest Miami Dolphins news.